You got the heart of a champion. Won't stop till the battle's won.
Annie Sangeras, the Australian Open champion. She is the new world number one. Annie enters the record books with a historic seventh Australian Open title.
Je cette match parti. Commence à 0, 6-1, 6-3.
Ashley Barty.
Four.
Seven match now. 6-3, 5-6, 6-1, 6-1.
Il remporte son 12e Roland Garros, Rafael Nadal.
Superstar, what a treat this has been. The top seed triumphs and it can surprise no one. He's beaten Roger Federer today in the longest final in Wimbledon history.
You will never forget this fight. Rafa Nadal pushed to his limits. Digs as deep as you can.
It's an extraordinary debut. But can you believe it? Bianca Andreescu is a US Open champion.
You got the heart of a champion.
Welcome to the First Serve, your home of tennis from the land down under, with your host, Brett Phillips.
The First Serve, your home of tennis. Great to have you with us for another week. All thanks to Top Agents Real Estate, servicing all of Melbourne. If you're in Melbourne, you're outside of Melbourne, if you're looking for a top price or top advice, live in the best city in the world. I'm a little biased. If you're buying, leasing or selling, check out top-agents.com.au. You can like their Facebook page or give them a call, 9558-4599. Coming up on the show, Craig Tiley, John Fitzgerald, Casey DeLakewood, Dylan Alcott, Todd Woodbridge, our new partner Evolve Physio, and details shortly of our Prince Rackets giveaway. Ash Barty with a runner-up showing at the China Open to Naomi Osaka, who has struck back in the last 3 weeks with a bit of purpose with two titles, but Ash, courtesy of a semi and a runner-up showing in this Asian swing, pretty much guaranteeing her the year-end number one ranking. What about John Millman, our favourite? For the first time, reaching an ATP 500 final, coming from qualifying at the Japan Open to finish runner-up to Novak Djokovic, who tops our rankings climbers, all thanks to Eric Jane Stair Building Group. If you're a residential or commercial builder, head to Victoria's number one staircase and balustrading manufacturer, ericjones.com.au. So Millman up 22 spots to 58 in the world, while on the women's side, Osaka, courtesy of that win over Barty, jumps back into the top three. How exciting. Barty, Osaka, Andreescu, Pliskova, technically at world number two at the moment, but those three are certainly going to have some great battles over the next 12 to 18 months. Well, if you're out there shopping for all your tennis gear, Tennis Only the place to go. They're Australia's number one online tennis retailer, tennisonly.com.au, shipping all over the country. They're in store in Melbourne and also in Perth, who have kindly given us four Prince Techstream Tour 100p rackets, retailing at $280 to give away through our social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We'll give one away each show for the next 4 weeks starting next week. All you need to do to be eligible to win is ensure that you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You can enter through all three. We'll compile all the entries together and also make sure you send us a personal message via our accounts with your name and contact number and where you're from. So they are the details. I'll repeat those a little bit later on for our four Prince Techstream Tour 100p rackets that we're giving away. Let's slip in an early break with a really big show coming up. All thanks to Green Life Group, your open space specialists in landscape, sports turf and property maintenance. Build, maintain and sustain. You can discover more at glgcorp.com. You're listening to The First Serve.
You got the heart of a champion.
We're ready to go again. This is The First Serve. Tennis from every angle, every week, with Brett Phillips.
Great to have you with us here on The First Serve. All thanks to Top Agents Real Estate. They're servicing all of Melbourne. So if you live in Melbourne, you're looking to move, or You're from interstate and you're looking to move to Melbourne, Top Agents Real Estate is the place to check into. So top-agents.com.au, like their Facebook page, you can give them a call, 9558 4599. If you're buying, leasing, selling, they'll give you a great price with some outstanding advice. Well, Australian Open 2020 officially has launched this week here in Melbourne, the biggest Grand Slam footprint, with the AO to stretch from Fed Square in the city through Birrong Ma and Melbourne Park all the way through to Richmond Station. So many fascinating storylines from an on-court perspective as well, as I touched on with AO Tournament Director Craig Tiley.
I think you and your team are going to be pretty busy because of not only from a fan's point of view, but then also from a player point of view. At the top end, you've got Roger and Rafa vying for the 20 Grand Slams. Roger trying to keep Rafa away, and Novak has got 16 Grand Slams, pretty close to that record, and he does really well here. Serena tying Margaret Court's Grand Slam record. Ash Barty, number one, coming in. All the younger Australian players, both men and women, that have a chance to really go deep into the event. And then, of course, the young global players on the men's and women's side, like Andreescu, who's the US Open champion, mm-hmm. and Tsitsipas and Thiem and Medvedev. I mean, it's an incredible list. So that, I've said it's once-in-a-generation event, because I don't know how much longer we're going to have Roger and Rafa and Serena. And I also, you know, it's not every day you have a number one player coming in like we do in Ash. So I think it's going to be a special time. And then what we've done to match that is we've taken the precinct and we've doubled its size. And we've done that pretty simply because we want to provide fans with a great option to have all sorts of entertainment opportunities throughout the 3 weeks.
So in the planning from 2019 to 2020, yes, we've seen obviously the site continue to expand. Yeah. You and your team are always looking for an edge, always trying to find a new way to engage and get more people to come to not only watch the tennis for the purists who love it and for those who come for the event where the tennis is part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this year, absolutely. You know, the kids' ballpark, we've now got entertainment not just for young kids, but for teenagers as well. You know, the childcare centre, the dating service, the live stage, 33 bands over 15 days, coming down to Grand Slam Oval, celebrating the best of Victoria food and produce. Going into Garden Square, you can sit and just watch the live big screen. Moving down to the Practice Village, which is on the other side of Melbourne Arena, having three stadiums with a retractable roof. Everywhere you go, you'll be entertained. And any list of entertainment you can think of, we'll have it. We know over 35 of the world's best chefs and restaurants we're going to have on site, which, you know, we, instead of having our fans having to go to there, we bring them to us. And so with the bigger precinct, it's going to be a lot easier for people to also get around. But also there's going to be a lot more opportunity for them to really enjoy everything.
So as we stand here at Tennis HQ, there's still part of the precinct which is being developed. So Where will that sort of be placed come January 2020?
There will be a lot of temporary overlay. The biggest change for us transformationally is 2020. So the temporary overlay will be significant. Big cost for us, but we are saying 2020 is going to be a year we're going to invest to take us to another level, which we're doing with the size of the precinct, because it is a once-in-generation tennis event. And I think in 2021 that'll be complete, and we'll even see another transformation with the site. So we've got a great, you know, 2-3 year window, we think, to really ramp this up, even to take it to another level.
And just a final one, the ATP Cup beforehand. Yep. Obviously a lot of groundwork has been done, the foundations now the last 3 months. It's really trying to pull it all together. You're dealing with the ATP on the other side of the world, and a lot of coming back and forth and meetings and so forth. Just give us a little insight into all how that's all taking shape.
Well, this is the first time ever in the history of the sport, a partnership between the Grand Slam and the Tour, the men's and the women's tour. We're working on the same relationship, same contract. But this is going to be, you know, Perth, Brisbane, Sydney, the first 10 days of January, 24 teams, best players. The interest and the sign we've got from the players is phenomenal. You know, there's never been an event outside the Grand Slam that has a stronger field. And really excited, because now we're going to have for 6 weeks all the top tennis players here on our shores. Lots to write about, lots to talk about, lots to see. And we've now pretty much locked away the future, and the Australian Open is secure for the future.
So to paint the picture, the AO has got its hands on Fed Square for the very first time. So as soon as you come into the city, jump off the train and the tram, you'll be basically walking into the front door of the Australian Open. A huge kids' ballpark, the AO live stage with bands and entertainment, the tennis itself at Melbourne Park, and beyond Melbourne Arena, a new practice village encompassing the National Tennis Centre with viewing platforms for fans to get up close and personal with the players, Des. I mean, Fed Square, one book in, at the other end, you'll be able to enter the site at the Richmond Station Inn when you jump off the train. Australian Open 2019 injected about $347 million into the Victorian economy, generating nearly 1,600 jobs for the state. And Ash Barty as an Aussie world number one at her home Grand Slam. It's a pretty exciting thought. Her great friend Casey Delacroix touching on that and the Australian Open on the world stage.
How does the vibe differ from other Grand Slams?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons why it differs. And one, it's the first Grand Slam of the year, so everyone is excited to come out and pumped for the year. Two, it's so close to the city, which a lot of the other slams, they don't have that feel where you're kind of in the midst of everything. So I think there's a combination of things. But the addition to the player pod last year was a huge, the players loved that. It was the biggest thing that they spoke about. It's really got everything you need. They talk about the transport being so easy. So you kind of can't fault it, really.
So close to Ash.
Yes.
As much as she might say that she'll just treat it as any Grand Slam, the potential of coming back here as world number one, how do you think she will deal with that?
Yeah, look, if there's anyone that can deal with it, I think it's Ash. I think she has the ability and the team around her to make sure that she focuses on what she needs to do. And that's basically her train of thought, I think, throughout her career, is think about the process, think about how she goes into winning matches with her coach Craig. They talk about specifics on how to beat an opponent, and I think that just really gives you tunnel vision into what you need to achieve as opposed to the bigger picture, which we all know when you do, it's can become quite difficult. But I think Ash has certainly got the people around her to make sure that she copes with all of that.
It's been such a big year for Ash, obviously winning her first Grand Slam, world number one. Have you noticed her change as a person at all in the last 12 months?
No. For me, Ash is exactly the same person she was when I first met her when she was 15 years of age. She loves her footy. She loves the Richmond Tigers. She takes the footy on the road. She loves her coffee. I mean, what you see is what you get with Ash, and I'm not just saying that because she's one of my closest friends. That's genuinely what she is about. She loves hanging out with her family. So I think that's what we love about her. I think the fact that she is that, girl next door that, I think that's what we love her. Like, we love what she achieves on the court, but we also love who she is off the court, and what you see is what you get. So that's Ash.
Do you think having won a Grand Slam does make her better prepared to deal with the pressure of what she's going to face back home in January, or is that something completely different?
Oh, look, I think as a tennis player you evolve, and like the experience that she had at French Open winning there will certainly no doubt help her. She knows what it takes to win a Grand Slam, so she's been there and done it before. So that's definitely going to be in her favour. Coming out to Australia, she loves playing in Australia. She'll loves playing here. So I think if anything, she'll want the crowd behind her and cheering her on, and I think that will be a huge advantage for her, if anything. So I think she's really looking forward to it.
Casey, just the next gen on the men's side, we've spoken about, you touched on it up there, just this next gen of the women with Andreescu's breakthrough, Osaka, Barty.
Yeah.
There's another pack with Kennan, Yastremska, and Bencic has had a great year, so it's pretty exciting in the women's game.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I mean, I love the men's side, and I love seeing the champions become more champion after every time they win. But yeah, I think on the women's side specifically, we've had this vast range of women come through that have really shone a light on the women's game. But we've also got the champions like Serena, and then we've got Kim Clijsters, like a lot of mums on tour now coming back. So we've got this vast range of players. But these young ones, Osaka, Andreescu and Ash Barty, particularly for me, are real standouts and have been this whole year. So those are definitely three to look out for come January, I think.
And what about Kim? Obviously, she's a mum now. She's coming back onto tour. It's pretty exciting, particularly in Australia, given she was Aussie Kim for so many years. How do you think the public will enjoy that?
Yeah, I think the public are really going to enjoy that. I think we'll see if she gets a wild card into the Australian Open come January. But I think from a playing perspective, she was always one of my favourite players to watch, Kim. She's a mum of three. It's been 7 years since she's played on tour, so it's a big challenge for her. Can she do it? Yeah, I think she can get back up there, so it'll be really exciting to watch her out there and seeing her compete against all these young guns now.
What do you think it does just generally for women's sport having Ash as not just the number one woman, but the number one Australian coming here and playing on centre court.
Oh, I think it's, yeah, I think it's great. Like you said, she's just the number one player in the world. She's number one player in Australia, and she's leading the way, and she's doing a fine job of it as well, as an example of, I think, what we want our athletes to be the epitome of, and that's, you know, good players, but great people. So, yeah, I think Ash has done a really good job. I think even since the French Open, she's handled it all really well. She's going to finish the year more than likely number one in the world. Just made the final in Beijing. Still got the biggest, I think, probably event in her mind to come. WTA finals, of course, but the Fed Cup final. And if there's only one reason I retired a year too early, it's because of that. She loves playing for Australia. Alicia's done a great job of having all those girls pumped up and ready to go. So I think for Ash, she's got her mind set on two more events for the rest of the year. She'll freshen up and be ready to go come January.
How much better can she get, do you reckon?
Well, she's number one in the world, so. But I think as a player, you are always just looking to evolve and also maintain and keep that consistency. And I think for Ash, that's one thing that she wants to really, I think, tick the box now, is to be that type of player that is up at that level for a long period of time. And she's doing that already. Not really having too much of a lull after French Open, really keeping that consistent level throughout the rest of the year. So I think for her, she'll always be, knowing Ash, being the perfectionist that she is, she'll always be looking to improve. That will make sure that her level is at that, where it needs to be for a long period of time.
Casey Delacqua at the AO launch this week, where it was also announced that John Fitzgerald, the former Davis Cup champion, Davis Cup captain, and world number one doubles player, will be inducted into the Australian Tennis Hall of Fame in January 2020. And I grab Fitzy for a chat.
Well, Fitzy announced here at the launch this morning that come AO 2020, we're going to see that incredible bust, and you're going to be unveiled into the Tennis Hall of Fame. What a great honour.
Yeah, it's sort of a frightening thought, isn't it, to unveil that. Look, I'm really touched, Brett, because I guess we all wonder if one day it might happen, but I was very taken aback when I got the call 6-8 weeks ago, and I'm very touched. It's an honour. It's our environment, I guess. It's our fraternity, and to be part of all of those people that I looked up to is really a special time for me. Yeah,
I mean, when you're playing and you went on to have a great record as Australian Davis Cup captain, you're still involved in the fraternity of the game. Yeah. Here, there, and everywhere I see you throughout the year is sort of in that ambassador type role. What has tennis given you the most, John?
Well, I think everything. I think tennis has given me everything I've got, really. I mean, I wouldn't have met my wife if it hadn't have been for tennis. And but as a young boy, you know, I can remember as an 8-year-old boy, my two older brothers out in the bush in South Australia telling me, in my young ignorance, I didn't know that we had the greatest players in the world playing in the professional ranks back then. They weren't allowed to play Davis Cup because they were professionals and it was only for amateurs. And when that went open in 1968, when I was about 8 years old, my brothers were telling me how good we were and look out for Australia. And that sort of got my attention into our sport. I called both of them this morning, my two older brothers, and said, you know, that sort of enlightened me to the history of, or started to enlighten me to the history of what Australian tennis was. So as you play through your career, you never think of this, but you just want to be part of that fraternity. And tennis gave me all those opportunities. It allowed me to travel. It was my education.
Yep.
It provided me an income. Sometimes not as much as I'd wished, but it provided me with all of my endeavours and my goals. And some of them you achieve and most of them you don't, but it's about the journey that is framed in the game.
Yeah.
For us as players, and it gave me everything from start to finish, really.
The definition of success, we often talk about it on our show, because not everyone reaches the absolute pinnacle of the sport. You're your own entity, you know, travelling the globe, trying to earn more money than you're spending, trying to win more matches than you lose. And we often talk about, you know, how players walk away from their careers, because not everyone can absolutely be the creme de la creme up here, but everyone who's involved in the game can walk away with pretty good careers.
Well, I think so, and it's about your own individual journey, you know, and you just try to be as good as you can be, and then you can sleep straight in bed, you know, at the end of the day. And, you know, I look at the young players of today who, in the men's side of the game, who have had, and to a lesser degree in the women, because there's in the men there's been three of the greatest players of all time. In the women there's been Serena. But what that does is it takes away the opportunities for other people to win, but that's how competitive sport is. It's part of the you know, the evolution of all the records. And so there's a lot of young players now that are playing or have played in the last 10 years with Djokovic, with Federer and Nadal and Serena Williams, who have had less opportunity because of those great players of the time. So that will be on their record. Mm. So you never know where that journey is going to take you. And you may be with the greatest players ever in your era, or you may have more openings, you know, more daylight to actually get good results. So look, it's just a journey. It's just a matter of enjoying the journey, getting joy from it, and it becomes your life. And you hope that your life is enjoyable, and tennis has been that for me.
We'll look forward to seeing you, Rod Laver, centre stage, come AO you, 2020. You've got about 3 months to just compile the speech, and we look forward to hearing that.
It'll be short, but thank you, Brett. Yeah, no, it's a thrill.
Very, very humble man is John Fitzgerald. Yarra Tennis Coaching, Melbourne's award-winning coaching program at Eaglemont Tennis Club, going back to 2002, junior and adult programs, along with private lessons available, whatever your age. Discover more at yarratennis.com.au, led by the highly credentialed Shane Scrutton, who will be my studio guest next week. Well, Dylan Alcott, also in attendance at the AO launch this week, starting off with a thought on Ash Barty.
I don't take for granted how I get to play a Grand Slam in my home city, and I remember the first time I did as well, number one. I was pretty nervous, but I think after the first couple of rounds, you settle down and things like that. But, yeah, she's a ledge, and I hope she plays really well because she deserves to.
How about you personally? Obviously, they alluded to it before, but you've become pretty accustomed to winning this title. It must be pretty calm.
Oh, I don't know about that. The pressure's still on because you're at home. It's always weird when I'm from Melbourne and luckily got a pretty big friendship group, and you play out on Rod Laver Arena, and everywhere you look, you know people. Like, that's always strange. Like, oh, I didn't say that person. Oh, there's my old school teacher or what like that, you know what I mean? It's so strange having that. But yeah, I mean, Tennis Australia and Australian Open's been such a big supporter of me, and you know, I used to play on the outdoor courts, and now I'm playing finals on Rod Laver Arena. If you told me that when I was a little kid, that there'd be wheelchair tennis on the big stage, you know, live on TV and media and articles and all that, I wouldn't have believed you. So I can't thank the Australian Open enough for supporting me, and just want to make everyone proud, and yeah, try and make it six in a row, which sounds crazy.
But I mean, you've been, you know, pivotal to raising the profile of the sport and so forth. Just how proud are you of how far it has come?
I'm stoked, I really am. And, you know, I probably shy away how hard I work off the court to make sure people cared about it. And it's not just for me, it's for, you know, the next generation of young Paralympic athletes. You know, when I was a kid, my brother and I both played tennis. He got a $100 pair of shoes. I needed a $10,000 wheelchair just to be able to play. And if you can't afford that, well, guess what, you don't get to do it, and that sucks, and that's still like that. So, you know, to be able to bring, I guess, a light to that, to show young people with disabilities they can do whatever they want to do, was why I kind of do what I do. That's why I get out of bed, and I love winning the Australian Open, but I really love what it does for me, which is give me that platform to try and help, you know, as many people like me get out there and just live normal lives that they deserve to live. And yeah, I am pretty proud of it, I am, and still got a bit to go though, so, and I've still a few more years in me.
With the big three, still the favourites, late 30s, what's your opinion on the next gen?
It's incredible they're still going at late 30s. I tell you what, I won't be. I'll be well retired by then. So it's amazing. But the next gen is coming, you know, Medvedev and Stefanos, and, you know, even Nick and Alex and Alexi and all that. There's some incredible players out there in the man. And I really hope that soon, you know, they start breaking through and winning it, because hopefully, you know, the big three also don't keep winning and then all of a sudden they retire. It's, you know, I'd love to see some battles from those young guys coming through, and they are, but it's so hard. Like, it's so hard to play seven really good matches, five set matches to get to the end. So I think the Aussie Open 2020 will be super exciting, and, you know, tickets already went on sale and they're already selling like hotcakes because they know that it's going to be an incredible final, both in the women and the men. So I think it's going to be a great year.
Dylan Alcott with his views on AO 2020. Ulasti Tennis Courts are Victoria's premier tennis professionals, specialising in on-the-card synthetic grass conversion. To find out more for your home or club, just head to aste.com.au. That's aste.com.au. Coming up on the first serve, Rob Brandon's going to join us from Evolve Physio and Todd Woodbridge to tell us about a brand new tennis show coming up on Channel 9. All thanks to Green Life Group, your open space specialists in landscape, sports turf and property maintenance. Build, maintain and sustain. Discover more at glgcorp.com.
You got the heart of a champion.
We're ready to go again. This is the first serve. Tennis from every angle, every week with Brett Phillips.
The first serve thanks to Top Agents Real Estate, servicing all of Melbourne. If you're looking for a top price with top advice, if you're buying, leasing or selling, check them out, top-agents.com.au. Like them on Facebook. Call the guys tomorrow, 9558 4599. They'll be very happy, Dave, Stewie and all the team, to certainly take your call. Well, we're partnering up with Evolve Physio Group on a monthly basis. They're at 492 St Kilda Road in the city with over 25 years clinical experience, proactively helping to prevent injuries, fast-track diagnosis and recovery, and also giving every opportunity to get the best out of your body. You can check out evolvesports.physio. Rob Brandham has worked at the elite level in tennis at the Australian Open for many years. He's toured with Davis Cup squads, individual top 20 players, including Milos Raonic and Thomas Burdick. And prior to this, he worked in the NRL with the Melbourne Storm, also in the VFL with Sandringham and Werribee. And we caught up at Evolve Physio earlier today.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here. You know, it's a great show, and we're glad to be part of it.
We spoke to Ivan Guterres, of course, at the US Open, your partner in crime, so to speak, here at the business. You've both had a long involvement in Australian tennis. What are some of the fondest things, before we sort of dissect some players and the demands of tennis, but what have been some of the fondest things in tennis that have, I suppose, made some memorable moments for you, Rob, across the journey?
I think certainly the relationships you have with the players themselves. I mean, working with the Australian Open over sort of the last 10 years or so, you do get to know a lot of the guys because you're sort of with them for a concentrated period of time. They all love coming to Melbourne and you see them each year and it's good to catch up with them. And then seeing them and follow them through the year on the circuit. And then especially also seeing some of the younger Aussie guys, with my sort of initial involvement working in more maybe junior tournaments and some of the ITF circuits, get to see some of the guys like Jordan Thompson and his sort of era of even Nick as well coming through their junior ranks and now good to see them getting out and doing so well.
Yeah, Tomo's had a breakout year, and I actually caught up with his fitness conditioning guy over in Miami. We caught up and it was fascinating, and people wouldn't probably understand the amount of work that he does, Jordan Thompson, to be in the best shape that he can be to play the quality of tennis. I mean, his tennis from a technique and his game has certainly evolved, but no shortcuts in terms of preparation to make sure his body is actually conditioned to play tennis. I mean, he's arguably one of the fittest going around.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he's struck a little bit of a rough patch at the moment with his groin injury. So he's home at the moment, and actually was in here yesterday catching up with Ivan. Yeah. So he's certainly on the road to recovery now. But as you said, there's no shortcuts for hard work.
Yeah.
And I think Johnny Millman is a great example of that. That he's just continued to battle. Doesn't maybe necessarily have the natural physical attributes that some of the other guys do, but he just works hard, is diligent with his rehab, keeps on top of his body, and the results now speak for themselves when he's sort of nearly 30, 30. I think. Yeah, yeah. So, and he's just grounded out from day dot.
Speaking of guys who work hard, this fascinating story of Andy Murray. We go back to January, and Craig Tolley sort of joked at the launch yesterday that the tennis fraternity basically bid him farewell. There were emotional videos and tributes, and he was done. Never to play tennis likely again. Here he is, 8 months down the track. He said yesterday, "I'm going to be back for AO 2020. He's starting to win some singles matches again. We saw him come back in the doubles midway through the year. Successful hip surgery. How are you sort of, from your vantage point as someone who's looking at players who come out of rehabilitation, how are you looking at the way he's sort of coping with it all, and what does this potentially look like long term for Andy Murray? And you might just want to take us through your own thoughts and account of what he's actually gone through.
Certainly impressive, to be honest. I saw him in Brisbane last year. I thought he was cooked. I was actually up there with another player, and we had a hit with Andy, and he didn't actually even finish the session. He just was a broken man. And following from that point, that was when he then went and had an initial surgery, actually here in Melbourne with one of the prominent hip surgeons, John O'Donnell. And unfortunately, that didn't give him the outcome that he wanted. He wasn't able to then get back to the level that he wanted to be. So then he went on and underwent the hip resurfacing procedure, which is not quite a hip replacement. It's just basically where they replace the socket, and they don't quite sort of fully replace the head. They just kind of put a cap on the head.
Yep.
So he's still got the majority of his own bone. It's just they've kind of tried to take away some of the arthritic bits. And it's a bit of an unknown, you know. There's no... I mean, apart from, say, Bob Bryan, who's had a similar procedure 2 years ago, I think. You know, he's got back to playing at a competitive level, albeit doubles. So certainly isn't challenging his hip in the same way. I think from what I understand, he's doing okay, maybe still gets a few problems with it, but, you know, certainly has a much happier lifestyle because he's not constantly in pain, as now Andy is as well.
When he decided to go down this track post the Aussie Open, was clearly thinking of more than just tennis as well. You talk about that pain that he was constantly in. He's, you know, having children, wants to be there as an active father, wants to be able to enjoy life post being a professional athlete. So now coming back to test himself and go to the limits again, because he is a competitive beast and he wants to try and, you know, play to that level that he's played at throughout his career. What's this going to do to the area that he's had work on?
It's an unknown. So from my understanding, I don't think there's actually any other professional athlete that's had the same procedure that has got back to a level of that professional sport that is as demanding as tennis. For him, his primary outcome initially was just to have a better lifestyle and a better quality of life. And I think, you know, probably was always looking to try and get back, but if he didn't get back, then that wasn't going to be the be-all and end-all, but certainly it's a bonus. The prognosis for it is, the answer is we don't really know, because there isn't a lot of precedent. You know, we do know that any procedure like that involves basically sticking metal into bone, those demands of running and jumping and cutting and changing direction, they are putting stress on that metal artifact in the bone. And the, you know, the potential outcome is that he may then end up developing things like a stress fracture around the actual prosthesis. Prosthesis itself can start to then kind of essentially jiggle and wiggle and start to loosen itself within the bone. And the other sort of risk with this procedure that he's had, from what I understand, is he's had a what's called a metal on metal hip resurfacing. So meaning that the cup is metal and the ball is metal. So there is a small risk that as that metal rubs against each other, that metal, very microscopic metal pieces can actually then be broken off and end up in his blood system and actually cause him a systemic problem. So, you know, he's a bit of a test case. And I think certainly full credit to him that he's kind of left no stone unturned. He's kind of done everything to the letter of what I'm sure he's been prescribed. And now he's reaping the benefits.
Well, we're going to follow it with great interest, and no doubt we want to see him back. And he's a fabulous player. He's been part of that that quartet of Djokovic, Nadal, Federer for many years. And we always probably knew there was going to be a bit of life left in Andy Murray. He's such a fighter. Kim Clijsters, how are you viewing this return? I mean, it's going to be a popular return. I've got no doubt she'll probably get a wild card into the Australian Open if she dots all the I's, and so to speak. 36 years of age, she's had three kids, hasn't played professionally for 7 years. She still enjoys having a hit, more so than maybe other retired players. But this is her Mount Everest, or her New York Marathon, as she's described it, to come back and play professionally.
Yeah, same again. It's a little bit of a, you know, there isn't a great precedent for that. But from an injury point of view, and I guess as a looking at it from how she goes through that process, she's going to need to be patient, and because you know, we know that unfortunately as we age, the body's robustness to those stresses and strains does gradually reduce. So the level of training that she could do even, you know, 4 or 5 years ago is going to be reduced, and her ability to ramp that demand up at a kind of adequate speed, so, you know, to get from point A to point B is going to need to be a bit slower, because I mean, I'm not 100% sure obviously what sort of base she has at the moment and how much she's been doing, but I mean, let's just say for argument's sake she's coming off a low base, then her tissues and say her tendons, for example, will have actually kind of essentially deconditioned. And so the stress and strain of getting back into training, we need to give those tissues time to readapt to that. and the degree of recovery required after each session is going to be that little bit longer than what she probably would have previously been doing several years ago, to just allow for that adaptation. Because that's where we now know that, the buzzword in our industry is load management. And we know that when we try and increase load at too rapid a rate, that's where injuries generally occur. So the general rule of thumb is not necessarily trying to increase your weekly load by much more than about 10 to 15%.
Yep.
That's kind of the mantra that, say, most of the football clubs here in Melbourne would take, is whenever they see the guys increasing that load at a rate greater than that, that's generally where the injuries occur.
So Murray, Clijsters, some interesting players to have a look at who are in the latter part. Well, certainly Andy moving to that last phase of his career, and Kim creating a second phase. So we'll see how all that pans out. Just a word on Evolve Physio. How's it all tracking? What's, I suppose, the main ethos, if you like, or your point of difference as a business and what you're trying to provide?
Yeah, so we moved to our new location here at 492 St Kilda Road at the start of the year. So now we've got nice big space and better facilities to provide for our patients. So we just try and take the level of care that we give to our professional athletes, which, to be honest, it's a small percentage of our business. The majority of people that we see are the everyday punter like you and me. But they deserve the same level of care that Andy Murray or Jordan Thompson or any of those guys do. So, we don't just see sports people, we see everybody, but make sure that they get that elite level of care each time.
So we'll check in with Rob on a monthly basis, but a couple of fascinating stories to follow with Andy Murray and certainly Kim Clijsters. And if you want some work done, Evolve Physio Group, 492 St Kilda Road, log on evolvesports.physio, and over 25 years of clinical experience. Rob, you've got Ivan Guterres, who I caught up with at the US Open game back a few weeks ago, who's about to go on tour with Alex De Minaur, and he's doing a lot of work with Jordan Thompson as well. They are absolute guns. So if you just want to get some work done, you can go and see the guys and they will certainly take care of you. This is The First Serve. It is your home of tennis, all thanks to Green Life Group, your open space specialist in landscape, sports turf and property maintenance. Build, maintain and sustain. You can discover more at glgcorp.com. Todd Woodbridge coming up next here on The First Serve.
You got the heart of a champion.
We're ready to go again. This is The First Serve. Tennis from every angle, every week, with Brett Phillips.
Welcome back to The First Serve. All thanks to Top Agents Real Estate, servicing all of Melbourne. If you're looking for a top price with top advice, if you're buying, leasing or selling, check out top-agents.com.au. You can like their Facebook page or give the guys a call in the office tomorrow, 9558-4599. So just a reminder again of our latest giveaway, all thanks to Tennis Only, Australia's number one online tennis retailer at tennisonly.com.au. The shipping all over the country and in-store in Melbourne, in Burwood Road, Hawthorne, and in Perth. We've got a couple of stores in Melville and Nedlands. So we've got the four Prince Techstream Tour 100p rackets. So retail at $280 to give away through our social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We'll give one away each week for the next 4 weeks, starting next week on the show. All you need to do to be eligible to win is ensure that you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You can enter through all three or compile all the entries together and ensure you send us a personal message via our accounts with your name and contact number and where you're from, and you'll be in contention to win one of the four Prince Techstream Tour 100p rackets. All tennis fans are going to experience the sport from a whole new angle when Cross Court, a magazine-style show dedicated to the great game that we love, premieres this Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern on 9 and 9 Now. Host of the show will be the 22 Grand Slam doubles title winner himself, Todd Woodbridge, who I caught up with today at Nine headquarters.
Well, we're in here at 9HQ, and I've just had a little sneak peek of episode one coming up on Sunday. Todd, it looks like it's going to be a really good Sunday morning when people have wiped the sleep out of the eyes. Punchy show building up to AO 2020.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's got a lot of good stories. It's got a lot of colour, and instead of just sort of talking results and being like a highlight show, it's showcasing what's gone on in the year. A lot of really good stories about Australian tennis. So we'll be touching on community tennis, people out there, young people, disability issues as well. And it's a program that I think a lot of tennis lovers will really get involved in. And not only that, we'll showcase what's going to happen at the AO in 2020. So there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, we often think of the AO. I suppose a lot of people think about those 2 weeks in January or January full stop, but we know that tennis has so many more layers to it, and the show looking to try and, I suppose, take people behind the AO or the journey that it takes to get to the AO.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, I guess, about tennis is there's the journey of the player to get to the AO, but there's also the journey of the fan that comes that loves to be a part of it. There's what it does in terms of the city for Melbourne, what it brings. And so when we were discussing what it was going to look like, it didn't want to be just another chat show about sport, let's say, and tennis in particular. We wanted to showcase what tennis can do to the community, what it brings to our city. So, you know, great little what we call postcard pieces, you know, Sammy Gross on 9 postcards, but he's also bringing some of that into this show as well. So about places to go, things to do, when you come into Melbourne, where you should go eat, where you should go stay. And we shouldn't say for Grothy, he's been eating fairly well for the last 18 months or so, but I can give him grief. But yeah, so I like it. I think also it touches on some of the performances, and particularly our first episode will showcase Ash Barty, what her year's been like, but also what she's being able to bring to tennis from the Indigenous communities and that.
And a lot of people wouldn't be totally aware of her Indigenous heritage. And there will be a great piece that you'll show on Sunday where she did venture to Darwin earlier this year, the rare time that she's able to get back to Australia. We know she loves going back and spending time with her family in Brisbane. But her link now to the Indigenous community, that was really brought to the forefront this year.
It was. And, of course, it's been driven for a number of years by Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley. She's done an amazing job with that. But what's so special, I think, about it now is that Ash brings another momentum to what Yvonne's been able to do in the game, and everything has changed so much since Yvonne was, you know, at her best. And Ash is a new role model for these young kids. They can relate a lot more to Ash. So it's very special. And the piece up in Darwin looks incredible. I got to go to a launch of that with Yvonne, and then the actual tournament itself has been great. So Ash is bringing an incredible amount to the game, not just on the court, not just with the way she handles herself within the media, but also what she's doing for her community.
Yeah, we've certainly seen that this year. I mean, having been on the road with her for a fair chunk of the year, you get to see all the layers of Ash Barty, and she's representing herself and Australia extremely proudly. Jim Courier's going to do a little flashback to a man you know well when he famously decided to take on the Yarra River when he won all those years ago, and a feature on Naomi Osaka as well. And in what has been a tough year, but just the last 3 weeks, just a sign that she's sort of got her mojo back and sort of almost said to the tennis world, you've forgotten about me a little bit, and she's risen back up into the top three.
Yeah, it was interesting watching her throughout that year. You look back and you watch that Australian Open presentation, and of course I was on the podium with her, and I was looking at a young woman thinking, are you really enjoying the moment? Do you understand how big and wonderful this moment is? And I'm sure she will in years to come, but I don't think she did then. I think there was pressure building with expectation and everything that comes with that focus of the world watching you at such a young age. And in some ways, she started to not handle that so well. She lost the number one ranking. Ash, you know, took it from her. And then at the US Open, there was a defining moment with Coco Gauff. I think that moment where she sort of said to Coco as a young teenager, beware, I'm a competitor, but don't think I'm scary. And she grabbed her and did that wonderful interview together with Mary Jo Fernandez. That moment, I thought, okay, here's a sign that she's starting to understand and cope. And in a way, that moment took a bit of pressure off her because there's this other young star coming. And she's been turning herself around since then. And, of course, she beat Ash last weekend. And that's a matchup that we're going to see for many years to come. I'm interested to see what happens with that because you've got different techniques. Yeah. Osaka, whose technique is not all that pretty, good competitor hits the cover off the ball. But then you've got Ash, who's already dealt with the issues that Naomi has had trouble with. I think Ash is ahead of the game. I think Ash, potentially for me, has more longevity between the two of them.
And Osaka beating Andreescu on the way through as well. That was a matchup we were really keen to see after her great run winning the US Open and what she's done throughout the year. So those three, and then Serena still in the picture making finals, whether she can actually execute when it counts most to get to that famous number of 24. We've still got the supreme Serena at the top as the player who's been so dominant the last 20 years, and this young pack who are fearless, really.
I think there is a real changeover in women's tennis. I wonder whether Serena's going to win another one. She had four poor finals and really struggled with playing well when she used to just dominate finals. So you've got to remember Halep's still there as well on Wimbledon. She's still lurking around. And I think the American women's game is in transformation too, with Anisimova. And you throw in Cannon. You've got Goff coming along. There's some really exciting stages, and you know, 12 months ago you look at women's tennis and go, oh gee, they're in trouble, and then all of a sudden new stories come along and it's been great. But Andreescu, talk about technique and everything mental, gee, she looks phenomenal. And I guess she's 2019's Osaka. She wins the US Open, she probably comes into Australia as a hot favourite, and then how does she cope with climbing that mountain so quickly? Can she actually hang on?
So cross court coming up Sunday morning, 11 a.m. It's going to be on Channel 9 Now. Of course, Yelena Dokic, Dylan Alcott, Sam Groth, who will feature in the first episode. They're going to feature right across the next 12 weeks, Todd. So it's going to be a great build-up to the AO.
Yep, we'll be focusing on the stories that I mentioned at the top. But of course, we'll talk a little bit about the Fed Cup as it comes along. There's a Davis Cup to talk about as well. Got the Tour Finals. They'll be all filtered through promoting what we're doing for the summer. Of course, ATP Cup, and I've been up in Shanghai grabbing some interviews that we'll probably use later in the series from that as well. So, it's good to have tennis back on the screens.
Absolutely. Just a word on the Fed Cup before I let you go. I mean, this is exciting. Perth, tickets are selling. It's a magnificent arena over there, RAC Arena. The composition of the Australian team, what's your take about a month out? I mean, Ash Barty picks herself and she'll carry a fair load. Yeah. Sam Stosur is going to play a big part. Outside of that, I mean, how do you see the rest of the Australian team coming together?
Well, I mean, Dasha's obviously taking a break, trying to get fit and healthy, so she's not going to be, whether she's there, I'm sure she'll go, but whether she's on court, I doubt that very much. So the load's going to be on two players, really. It's going to be on the seasoned veteran, if you like, is Sam Stosur, and it's going to be on Ash, and heavily weights on Ash having to win her singles matches, and it comes down to doubles as well. And what we saw in the semi, it's going to have to be a replay for the Aussies. But we can win it. They've got an opportunity to win it. Astra Sharma, is she in the picture maybe for doubles? She's continuing to play well. Priscilla Hahn, she made a debut as well and was brilliant against the USA. They're going to have to find ways to step up in the next month to be able to get a position on the playing team again, if you like, to be on Saturday, Sunday. But, it's brilliant. I know that both Sam and Ash are incredibly focused. It's the last time we're going to see it in its current format for a while. It's going back to a one-week event again. It'd be a great way to finish the year, though, for Australian women's tennis and Australian tennis in general.
Always great to catch up with Todd, and we are certainly looking forward to the Fed Cup, which is coming up in a few weeks' time. That is it for us tonight. Thanks to Green Life Group, your open space specialist in landscape, sports turf and property maintenance. Build, maintain and sustain. Discover more at glgcorp.com. A reminder, of course, of our Prince competition on our Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages, and we'll do it all again next week here on The First Serve.